People to gather together before his name, and we are thankful for that. And we're thankful also for the visitors among us. Welcome. We are encouraged that you're here, and I pray that you will be encouraged by what you see and hear. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. And again, don't forget potluck right after the lesson. And we're going to do our second service in the annex. And I promise, just because I know my lesson for that, it's like a third of a normal sermon. All right, so you have to worry. I'm smart enough to know to shorten it down. So don't let that keep you from being a part of that. And again, no 5 p.m. service, but if you do show up at 5, what are you going to do? You're going to come over to my house. Don't leave. You're going to come over to my house and pull weeds. All right? Same thing Wednesday. If you come, no one's going to be here. All right, we're meeting on Thursdays at 7 for the summer series. But if you come at 7 on Wednesday, don't leave. Come over the house and pull weeds. Or just come at those times we're supposed to be here. But we are grateful for this opportunity that we have this morning. You know, in the Bible, as the Lord's church, we have 3 mandates as Christians as a church. Benevolence, edification, and evangelism. Anything that we are authorized to do is going to fall under one of those 3 mandates. So, of course, you can tell here we're going to talk about evangelism this morning. And, you know, evangelism, it's one of those things that it's hard for us, right? And just being honest, it's very difficult. You know, because it can feel odd and awkward, right? I know I'm commanded to do it. Every one of us, if you're a child of God, you have a mandate to evangelize, to tell the good news. Right? There's different ways to do that, but that's not the point. Well, we know that we're supposed to share the good news. But yet we don't many times, because we don't like that uncomfortable feeling, right? Especially with family and friends, you know. Well, you know, it's just going to make, when we get together for Thanksgiving, awkward, right? You know, and sometimes whoever it is, maybe a family member or a coworker or a friend, you know, it makes them angry. And so I just, you know, I don't want to, you know, don't talk politics and religion, right? That's the thing. And so it's awkward, and so we don't do it. Let me tell you a story. Go back a handful of years, 2004, I'm in the Army. Over in Iraq, I'm the fire team leader. I've got a young man, Daniel Unger, the lowest man on the totem pole you can get. But Daniel was one of the very few people that would kind of sort of talk about religious things with me. He was the son of a Baptist preacher, but he had never obeyed the gospel, 18 years old. And we kind of, sort of, would talk a little bit about certain things, but I was always hesitant for some reason to say, hey, let me show you what the Bible says about salvation. I would just put it off, and I never did. Well, one day, Daniel, we were on our little fire base doing things, and guarding some vocals, doing some work, and I told him to come stand where I was and take over what I was doing while I went to do something else. Just a few minutes later, and I don't know why God operates the way he does, why this didn't happen when I was there, but mortars, rockets start coming in, and he gets a piece of shrapnel on the side of his body armor into his aorta, and he dies. Right where I was standing just a few minutes ago. Now, you want to talk about guilt on my part. You know, why didn't I? Right? And so, I come back to the fact that maybe I just thought it was a little too awkward. Right? Apparently, at that point, I didn't think the good news was all that good of news or something. I don't know why I didn't, but the fact of the matter is I didn't. Right, and I know he's responsible between him and God. But I do carry a bit of guilt with that. And this was years before I ever thought about being a preacher, but nonetheless, I was a Christian. Why didn't I do it? I think the thing about evangelism is we're just scared to for a couple of reasons. Now, I like success stories. I love reading about success stories. One of the most successful stories that we find in our Bible is that of the Apostle Paul and his success with evangelism. So this morning here in the time that we have, I want us to think about Paul. I want us to think about his great example for us. And maybe this will help us answer why we don't do what we ought to do many times concerning evangelism. So Paul says, we heard it in our scripture reading earlier, he says, well, in the New King James, he says, I'm under obligation, verse 14. Or I'm in debt, some translations say. And so one of the things that's very interesting, like if we could talk about, Paul, why were you so successful in sharing the gospel? How did you do it? And what's very interesting is Paul didn't talk about other people. He said, I want to talk about me. And he says, I'm under obligation, I'm in debt to share the gospel. Why, Paul? He says, because I know what Christ has done for me. So he talks about himself. Maybe that's the issue. Maybe that's what we need to understand in all of this. He says, I understand the debt that I have. Now, this word for debt here, in the original language, the New Testament Greek, it's a very strong word. And it carries more so the idea of being delinquent. And there's a difference here, I think. And here's the best example that I can think of, right? So everyone here right now with a mortgage, right? Let's say you got a 30-year mortgage. And let's say maybe you're 10, 15 years into that mortgage, right? You've been paying every month. Today's the 29th. So if I asked you, do you still owe money on that mortgage? Well, the answer would be yes and no. Well, no, not right now, because I paid back on the 1st. But come, you know, the 1st of July, yeah, I'm going to owe some money. Right, so that you're always under obligation to make that payment. Now, if you don't make it on the 1st, let's say it's due on the 1st, then you're what? Well, then you're delinquent. And so the point is, this word here that Paul's using, he says, there's never a time when I'm not under obligation to tell people about Jesus. Right? Our theme, vessels of honor. We talked about being vessels of responsibility last week. Right? This morning, the title of the lesson, vessels of evangelism. I understand the responsibility God has placed on me because I was saved. Why wouldn't I then share that with others? Let me tell you, if it's good news, I'm going to act like it's good news. And I'm going to live with the mindset that I am constantly in debt to pay that to others because of what Christ has done for me. And so that's what Paul here is really highlighting in this text. If you would, I want you to go to Acts chapter 9. Let's talk about three reasons real quick. Three reasons here that we learn from Paul, why and how he was successful. Right? We're looking for a success story. Here it is with the Apostle Paul. Paul owed his debt first to the Lord. Remember the events here in Acts chapter 9? Paul, he's on his way to Damascus, verse 1, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Right? He's on his way to persecute the church, and then he encounters Jesus in verses 4 and 5. Paul, why are you doing this? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. Right? And, oh, well, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Well, go into the city and someone will tell you what you need to do. Remember this whole event here? Now, I want you to know, like, if you were to jump over to verse 29, the very first thing he did, right? Because remember, now, Paul's going to retell this event in chapter 22, and verse 16, Ananias goes to him. You know, why are you waiting? Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins. calling on the name of the Lord, right? So he's retelling of this event. And the first thing he does, you go to verse 29 here in Acts chapter 9, he immediately begins to preach Jesus or proclaim. You see that in your Bible? All right, so what does he do? Look what the Lord has done for me. He understands that debt. I was a blasphemer, we're going to read here in just a minute, that he's going to tell us in 1 Timothy. Chief of sinners. But he saved me. Oh boy, I didn't deserve it, let me tell you. He saved me. I'm in debt to tell people the good news. I need to tell people the only way that they're saved is because of the Savior. You know, one of the most, let me say this, I think one of the most important factors of our faith is this right here. Let's just be blunt and honest. Until I understand that I was truly lost without Christ, until I can truly understand and believe that I am only saved in Christ, until I understand those two things, I will never share my faith. You know, so if you don't share your faith, maybe that's the issue. Right, if you're struggling with telling people the good news about Jesus, this is probably the issue, the main issue. Either you don't think you were ever truly lost, or maybe you don't really truly believe that you are now saved in Christ. One or the other, maybe both, I don't know. Have you ever noticed that, you know, and this is, we just see it sometimes. I'm not saying it's a common thing. Say somebody grew up in the church, right? Godly parents, the way the Lord designed it, wonderful thing. Let's say they grew up in the church, maybe they even went to a Christian college, and they married a Christian spouse. They never left the church, but it seems that sometimes brethren that grew up in those circumstances are the least likely to share the good news. Why is that? Right, to ask a question is to answer it. Could it be this? They never really thought they were truly lost, right? Well, I never really went out and did bad things. I never went out and sowed my wild oats. I never really went out and said, I don't really have a sin problem to take care of. I'm pretty good. Remember David in Psalm 51, or rather Psalm 40? Down in the pit, slimy, muddy, miry pit, Lord provided the firm foundation. He got out of the pit and says, I tell you what, I'm going to start singing praises to my God, and those around me are going to see that. It seems many times those who are on fire for the work of the Lord and just committed to evangelism are those that didn't grow up in the church, that lived a very bad, sinful lifestyle. And they're like, wow, I can have salvation, and they believe it. Like, I tell you what, this is good news. You can't stop me from telling others. Think about maybe the most sinful person ever. Right? Think of it, you know, Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, whatever. Think about the worst serial killer out there, right? Ted Bundy or someone like that. Right? You got that person in your mind? Listen, on the day of judgment, if you don't have Christ, you're going to be just as lost as any of them. So until we come to that point and understand that we all had a sin problem, right? Romans 3 is all about that. Right? There's none good, no, not one. Right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Until you come to that point and understand that you have a sin problem, the only answer is Jesus. And if you submit to his gospel, that he will wipe those sins away, and truly believe that, you're going to struggle in your faith. You're going to absolutely struggle in sharing the gospel. Right? And so, have you ever had someone tell you really good news? Right? Someone tells you, you know, that they're pregnant. Wow, that's exciting. Well, I can't wait to go. Can I go tell people? And they say, no, you can't tell anybody yet. Right? And that just kind of burns you. Oh, it's such good news. I can't wait to tell people. And when they finally say, yeah, you can tell people, you're so excited. Guess who's pregnant? Guess who's going to have a child? It's good news. You can't help but share it. Then isn't the story of Jesus saving you much more exciting? Well, why don't we tell people about that? What is it? All right, it's a little bit convicting, isn't it? But that's the purpose of the Word of God, is to convict us, to motivate us to change, to do something about it. Paul says, I'm a debtor. Right? I owe it to mankind to share the good news. I'm an absolute debtor. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you will. I want you to note here next why Paul thought he owed a debt to share Christ. It was not only the fact that he was saved, right, that being a gift, you know, why he was worthy to be saved, why he's worthy to share this, right? He viewed, secondly here, the ministry as a gift from God. So read with me 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me. Notice the words of appreciation there. In other words, you know, thank you, Lord, right? What is he thanking the Lord for? Keep reading here. Who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 13, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Right, and the grace, right, that's what saves us. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith, right? That's our part. And love which are in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's you and me. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know, Paul, who are you? What are you about? He says, you know what? Hey, by the way, I was chief sinner. I was a blasphemer. Right? Do you think Paul thought he was lost? Absolutely. Was he glad that he was saved? You bet. But where does he fall into his place in serving the Lord? He begins the verse there, I am thankful that the Lord has allowed me to be part of the ministry. Ministry just means service. God allows me to serve. I'm so thankful. And isn't it interesting that Paul says here, you know, when I go out and I work for the Lord, when I share the gospel, I'm just thankful that he allows me to be a part of it. You want to talk about being a vessel of evangelism, a vessel of responsibility, a vessel of honor, that's it right there. I'm just thankful that the Lord is allowing me to be a part of all this, to spread the gospel. What a great example for us to take into consideration this morning. So if you were to ask Paul, how did you accomplish everything that you accomplished? Right, he says, number one, I'm a debtor. Right? Why are you in debt, Paul? He says, you know, look at what the Lord has done for me. Right? He saved me. And then secondly here, you know, look what the Lord's done. He's allowed me to be part of a ministry. What a gift. But number three this morning, I want you to note, he says, look what others have done for me. Right? And this has everything to do with evangelism also, I believe. So if you actually go back to Acts chapter 9, right, when Paul is on his way back, or on his way to Damascus, right, and he gets there, and we read that he waited. Now, who was it that came? Remember, it was Ananias. Now, if you're to read the whole thing, we just don't have time this morning, God tells Ananias, you know, go talk to Saul. And Ananias is kind of, it's almost comical. God, you know who this is, right? He persecuted the church, had his hand in killing Christians. You don't really want me to go talk to Saul. And God's like, go tell him, you know, it's part of his will. Tell him what he needs to do. And so, can you imagine here, when Paul would have been thinking back, right, if he was to make a list of people that had the biggest impact in his life and his faith, Ananias would be up there. You know, he's saying, you got to love this brother. Right? He's the one that came to me. He's the one that told me what I need to do to obey the gospel, right? Now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Call on the name of the Lord. He would probably, if you read a little bit further, mention Barnabas. Remember, the church was scared. Paul obeys the gospel, or Saul back then. He obeys the gospel, and the church is like, whoa. And Barnabas is kind of like, Saul, come here. Church, come here. Listen to the great news. He's now one of us. So I'm sure Barnabas would have been on that list also. And so Paul was very, very thankful for these brethren in his life. And so Paul could list people that made a difference in his life. Right? You see, we owe a debt to mankind because there have been people in our past. If you're a Christian this morning, there's been people in your past that have made a difference in your life. We're going to do a mental exercise here. I think I did this a couple years ago. If I asked you to take out a blank sheet of paper and write down the top five people who have impacted your faith the most, you know, who would you write on there? Is someone that taught you the Bible? Right, someone that baptized you into Christ, someone that edified, encouraged you, built you up when you were at a low point, right? You got a list of five? Now, you made out your list of five. I want you to think about it, because everyone else right now, they made their list. Believe me, they did, right? I want you to think about, are you on anybody else's list? Are you on anybody else's list? Taught them the gospel, baptized them, encouraged them, lifted them up. If not, why not? Right? Now, also understand there's many times, right, if we're reflecting Christ as we should, we're gonna edify a lot of people without knowing we're on their list or not. Right? So don't be too hard on yourself. But I think it's a mental exercise worth thinking about. And I think it helps us hold ourselves accountable if we haven't been. So Paul says, I'm a debtor. I owe it to mankind. I owe it to mankind to share the gospel of Christ. And not only did he say he was a debtor in Romans 1 and verse 15, he also said, I am ready. Now, I want us to think about this word for just a moment. Back in Acts chapter 13, if you would. So Paul's on his way to Jerusalem. And, in chapter 21, but I want to come back to chapter 13 here in a moment. And he's told if he goes there, he's going to die. Right? He's having it seems like random prophets coming up to him, the brethren, hey, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to die. But what does Paul say? Paul says, I am ready. Now, ready in this original word, I want you to understand, is more of the idea of I'm prepared. He wasn't happy and giddy to go to Jerusalem and die, right? He said, I'm prepared. So think about being prepared for just a moment here in this, right? So Paul was ready to pay his debt. He had the acknowledgement, I'm a debtor, I'm under obligation, right? I'm delinquent and paying that constantly. But secondly, he says, I'm ready, I'm prepared. I'm prepared to pay my debt. Listen, if you have a $1,000 mortgage that's due, it's one thing to understand you're obligated to pay that. It's a whole other thing to gather the resources to pay that debt. So what's the point here? Listen, you can be a person that understands your obligation to pay that debt, to share the good news, but then do nothing to be ready or prepared to pay that debt. Oh, I'm just that good, right? I don't need to study the Bible. I don't need to prepare. That's not the way it works. You know, when you look at this event here with Paul, Most scholars would agree that chapter 9, when he obeyed the Gospels, about 35, 36 AD. But when you get to chapter 13, that missionary journey, now it's about 46 to 48 AD. What's the point? Well, it's just a couple pages of my Bible, but listen, that's 12 years in the life of Paul before he went out on his first missionary journey. Now, I'm sure he preached a sermon, taught a class, whatever, in between that, but 12 years for the Apostle Paul, from when he obeyed the gospel until when he went on that first missionary journey to carry out the will of God, 12 years. Right? He did what was necessary to prepare to pay that debt, that obligation. Right? Listen, none of us are just good enough to not put in the work. Right? We got to put in the work. And again, I know there's different ways to fulfill that mandate of evangelism, but you got to put in the work. It's not going to happen by accident. We need to acknowledge the debt we owe and prepare to repay that debt and continuously be ready to pay that debt. All right, let's go ahead and finish. Let's wind down here. I want you to just note one thing here, and we'll have our closing. John chapter 1. Just real quick, I want you to note another example here. So John chapter 1. Right, so Andrew, well, John was with them. You remember this? Right, they followed Jesus home, and we read that they learned about him, and Andrew was so excited. He turns around and he ran to his brother Peter, right? He ran to him, he said, you know, we met him, we've seen him, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. He's here, come and see him. So he took his brother back, met the Messiah. You know, Peter's converted to Christ. Also, that's John chapter 1. All right, Matthew, the fourth chapter. Right, we see Peter, Andrew, they're mending their nets with their father. Jesus, he comes along, he says, you know, follow me. And he wanted them to leave the fishing nets behind and start fishing for men, verse 20. They left their nets behind and they followed him. Now, that seems confusing, right? So when were they converted? In John 1 or here Matthew 4? Now, some people, they're going to read that and they're going to say the two stories conflict. But they don't. Listen, you know, one time they decided to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple. And then the next time, right here, right, this is when they decided to change their level of work, to change their level of dedication and service. Right, they changed their level of commitment, and it didn't stop there, right? So did they immediately go on their first missionary work? No. All right, let's finish in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, right? Now we have to go almost 3 years later. Now I know there's a limited commission in between. 3 years, you come to Acts chapter 2, where now they stand up and they begin working for the Lord exclusively as apostle. Apostle means one sent, right? Basically missionaries. Right? So what's the point? In Scripture we see inspired men take years of preparation. You know, and I think we're foolish. We say, oh, I can pay that debt and I don't have to invest any time. I think we're fooling ourselves. I don't need to study hard, right? If it took them 3 years, Paul 12 years, right, what's the example there? I think we need to deeply consider investing the time that's necessary in learning the will of God. And when we do that, when we fill our lives with the good, necessary things of God, we're going to understand that it is good news more and more and more. And let me tell you, we're not going to hesitate. No one can stop us from telling that good news to a lost and dying world. So what did I learn this morning? I've got a debt. Listen, I was lost without Jesus. Today, if I turn my back on Jesus, I'm going to be lost again. But I belong to Jesus, and I acknowledge that debt. And now I need to make myself ready to pay that debt, and that's going to take preparations. This morning, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about your debt as we offer the Lord's invitation. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, listen, I don't want you to do it unless you count the cost, unless you're ready to bear that cross. And part of counting the cost is an understanding that it is good news, you can be saved, but you're going to be under obligation to then tell others about Jesus. Tell others how you were saved, how you were in sin, but you obeyed the gospel. Now he washed away that sin and you belong to him. You're going to be under obligation to share that. And if you're willing to do that, understand that the Bible says you must put on Christ in baptism. And I'm doing that because I love God with all of my heart. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. I'm not ashamed to tell anybody. I'm going to confess that. And I'm willing to repent of my sins. Right now, understand the perfection comes from Jesus. You're going to struggle. You're going to make mistakes. But the great thing is, you walk in the light, he's going to continuously cleanse you. Then you reenact his death, his burial, resurrection, and water, baptism, immersion. You start that journey. It's not easy. Right? But the good news is God will allow you to be part of that. And there's no better option. As difficult as that can be, there's no better option than Jesus Christ. So if that is where you are, would love to see you make that decision this morning. Or if you have, and you admit, look, I've turned my back on the Lord. I went back into a sinful lifestyle, and I want to start over. Let us show you the love of God this morning in that. Or if you just need prayers or encouragement, we'd love to help with that. Please let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.